Brian Bushlack is back with Business Briefing on AM 770 KTTH.
And we're back as promised with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. Pat, thanks for joining us here on the show. And obviously, a government shutdown, not a good thing, but I think most people realize or don't realize the serious economic impact this has, whether it's 1 week, 2 weeks, a few days, to shut down the government and then to have to restart things. It causes some major issues.
It does, Brian, and it's really hard to quantify the total impact. But I'll give you an example. Right, when we have the shutdown, you have at least 700,000 federal employees furloughed and not getting a paycheck. And the ramification of that is about 10 times the actual salaries being paid. Then you also think about, well, if you're closing down national parks and all these things, you're cutting down on motel traffic, you're cutting down on restaurant revenue surrounding those facilities. This reverberates through the economy to the extent that a government shutdown of a couple of weeks is probably 2/10 of the GDP in the quarter. A government shutdown of a month or longer could get north of a 0.5% or 0.6%. A prolonged government shutdown of a couple quarters, and we go back into a major recession.
I think about it across Puget Sound at JBLM. I mean, just a shutdown of even a few days. And that's what I was thinking about, was all those businesses that surround it that might be private sector businesses that are impacted. Obviously, the further you are away from that corridor, then maybe the less impacted you are. But you also think about private contractors like, for instance, Microsoft, do quite a bit of business with the government, and they're impacted.
That's true, Brian. And then again, you have a further echo effect, and that is consumer confidence. And one of the things that has probably had the biggest impact on the speed of the recovery is consumer confidence, which has been extremely low for people making $50,000 or less. It really hasn't improved hardly at all. People above $50,000 have had a marked increase in consumer confidence because they've had asset appreciation. We've talked about it before on your show. One of the positives of QE is that you've had asset appreciation in terms of real estate and stocks. So people with more income and more net worth have higher confidence. But this even erodes the confidence of those people. And it's hard to quantify the impact of eroding confidence, but we don't need it. We don't need it, and especially without being fully recovered from this recession.
Pat Stone joining us here on Business Briefing. We'll talk more specifically about the impact of the shutdown on the real estate market. It is a very direct impact. We'll talk about that coming up in our next segment past the bottom of the hour. But I want to get perspective on this from you, Pat. This isn't the first time in my lifetime we've seen or experienced a government shutdown. But you've been in business. You've ran a Fortune 500 company. You've been at it for over 40 years. Things have changed dramatically in the political landscape of this country in the past 35, 40 years, haven't they?
Yeah, the ability of the parties to work together was eroded dramatically, I think, in the late 90s, early 2000s, when they passed a provision where you could go home on the weekends. And Evan Bayh, who was a senator from Indiana when he retired, wrote an editorial on this, and he thought that collegiality in the U.S. Congress had eroded dramatically because the members aren't around on the weekend to socialize or go to parties, talk, create friendships, develop a dialogue, develop the ability to exchange ideas, develop the ability to compromise. And we have a dysfunctional government because we do not embrace conversation leading to a compromise. And when I was younger, Brian, we defined democracy as the art of compromise, and we don't hear that anymore. There is very little compromise. There's very little willingness to work together. There's a lot of posturing to get reelected.
Pat, do you think we reach a point, maybe a tipping point, if you will, where things get so bad that we hit the reset button and a new generation of political leaders comes into power and realizes that what's old is new again, and we have to get back to that, or are we on a bad path here?
Well, putting it in a little bit of perspective, Brian, we've always had a very divisive, split political system. And by that I mean most of the major legislative accomplishments of the last 100 years have had disproportionate voting experiences. And you take the Civil Rights Act, you take the income tax, you take the creation of the SEC, you take anything that was done. It was a fairly lopsided vote one way or the other in terms of political participation. So I don't despair that we have to break the system completely down. I do think that we are going to get to a point where we will reset to the extent that everybody involved preserves their job by by getting something done. And one of the interesting things about this shutdown that occurred here is that. I think we have seen the far right element of the Republican Party expend too much capital in the wrong way, and I think that will lead to some compromise. Now, people talk about moderate Republicans going along with Ted Cruz and his gang because they're worried about primary challenges. I think the public's reaction to this is fairly strong, and by that I mean there's a couple different polls I would quote. About 72% to 22% with 6% not contributing. 72% of the public thinks shutting down the government over this is not the answer. Trust me, the Republicans, the moderate Republicans, see these polls. So who to blame? Right now, 46% of the public blames the Republican, 36% blames the president, and 13% blame both. So there's moderate Republicans out there that are worried about losing a primary challenge and looking at these polls thinking, well, maybe this wasn't the way to go. So I think we will see a reset to a certain degree.
Pat Stone joining us here on Business Briefing here across the Northwest. And Pat, Obamacare is at the heart of this. You obviously are a business executive. You run a company that operates in many states. I talk to so many of these business owners across our region in Portland and Seattle who are concerned about the implementation of this, and this is at the crux of this issue. Do you think we'll see a reset on Obamacare as a result of this? Or, I mean, how does this play out over not only once this issue is resolved, there's another one around the corner with the debt ceiling. How does this play out for business owners across the region?
Well, there's multiple questions there. And I would start by saying that Obamacare is grossly misrepresented and poorly understood. I would also say that it's way too complex and far overreaching what was necessary. So I'm on both sides of the issue, but I will tell you that the net effect of Obamacare probably is more positive for small business than most people realize. It is going to have a disproportionate positive effect on small business because most small businesses under 25 employees, if they're providing health care, will get a tax credit. Even the ones from 50 up or 50 or less that are eligible, if they don't provide health care insurance, will have to pay a penalty, but it will not be onerous, in some cases less than providing health care. Where the expense will probably hit the most is uninsured people that are young and healthy, not currently buying insurance. So there's a lot of misunderstandings about Obamacare. Am I in favor of Obamacare? I have mixed feelings. I think it's overreaching. I do think that one of the causes of healthcare costs, one of the big contributors to rising healthcare costs, is the amount of uninsured people that show up at the emergency room late in life. And I think the mathematics work in favor of insuring everybody's to prevent that, so people have preventive health care and we don't have a lot of uninsured people. Now, I do think that the Republicans picked the wrong issue to fight the budget battle over. I think that they should have gone to the Democrats and said, hey, we'll do the continuing resolution, we'll raise the debt ceiling, but we want to have an earnest conversation about mandatory programs such as Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. And that is really where the problem is. And as I pointed out to you before, you go back to 1965, total government spending, 62% was in discretionary items and 38% was in mandatory programs. Today, it's just the opposite. 62% are mandatory programs and 38% is in discretionary items. I'm talking as a percentage of GDP. So, as a percentage of government spending related to GDP. So we've seen mandatory programs basically grow disproportionate. Actual overall government spending has probably declined on the discretionary side or been flat on the discretionary side. That should be the issue. Now, some people say, well, Obamacare is part of mandatory programs. Yes, but no. The real problem here is Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, retirement-related issues.
Great points. More with Patrick Stone, Williston Financial Group, when we continue here on Business Briefing.